Chapter 42, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do you look upon one another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, Lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons, we are true men, thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. Behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, That is it that I spake unto you, saying, Ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, This I do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, We are very guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake not I unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn, and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, What is this that God hath done unto us? And they came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, The man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone, and bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So we have, first of all, the going down of the ten to Egypt to get corn. So Jacob sends them away. He keeps Benjamin for obvious reasons. He has considered Benjamin to be his covenant child, his covenant successor, his covenant heir. And so he will indeed keep him there, lest any evil befall him. We see that especially at the end of the chapter. But we might infer rightly that this is why he does not allow him to go down the first time. And so here then are the men standing before Joseph, and note that they all bow down. Joseph is reminded of his dream. And in being reminded of his dream, I want to remind us all of something else here, that what Joseph does over the course of these next few chapters is indeed not an example for us. It is not an example for us in this regard, that he is being moved by the influences of God's Spirit prophetically to bring the brothers, indeed the church of the living God in that day that existed, to repentance for its almost unanimous account of its sin earlier. We must understand this, that Joseph does some things that it would not be lawful for us to do, that he says some things that would not be lawful for us to say. But God is prosecuting a course here with the church, and he is doing so by the hand of his prophet Joseph. And notice that we have raised him up in our readings thus far as a type of Christ over and again. And so it is as that type of Christ and as that prophet that Joseph does some things that seem to us to be deceptive. Yea, if one of us did them, we would call them deception. So this is one of those instances where Joseph is being moved by the inscrutable spirit of prophecy, and he's doing things that would not otherwise be lawful for him to do. But he's doing them because God is prosecuting an extraordinary course against, in one sense against, and in another sense in favor of his church, of those sons of Jacob who had conspired together to sell Joseph into slavery, only after relenting from murdering him outright. All right, so Joseph speaks roughly to them. He keeps up the disguise that he is the grand vizier of Egypt and not their brother. He speaks to them through an interpreter. They do not know who he is, although he understands their private consultations between themselves. And he hears Reuben say, This is all your fault, not mine. Reuben has not yet made it to the place of repentance. He hears all of that, and his heart yearns for his brother Benjamin, and he has indeed a righteous interest in Benjamin's preservation, because if they killed him, what might they do to Benjamin? If they sold Joseph into slavery, if they planned to murder him and at the last second relented, what about Jacob's other favorite, What about Rachel's other son? And so we see that this is a very human concern that Joseph has, and yet it is also a very divine concern as the Lord is taking these human details and weaving them into the providence that He has planned for His church in that day. And so, yes, Joseph does speak roughly to them. Yes, he does devise a way to speak to them. And yes, the brothers, being indeed those who have acknowledged Yahweh's sovereignty over them in the past, notice that even today, so many years later, as soon as the roughness comes up, they say what? Oh, we are very guilty concerning our brother Joseph. You might think, where did that come from? Not where did that come from. It never left. It never left. This is the difficulty, right? This is the grand deception of our enemy. That you can in some way ignore your sins and the effect of them will go away. No. You cannot. As soon as some trial comes their way, the brothers immediately consult among themselves. We are very guilty. Reuben himself distances them from their guilt. Oh, no, that wasn't me, that was you. Please. Come on, Reuben. Really? And so with all of that, notice that while they are acknowledging some guilt, they are not yet ready to own it. They are not yet ready to come clean. They are not yet ready to repent. There is still a course of trial, of difficulty. Now, I want to especially put something into your minds here that will play out in the following chapters. Okay? So, he answers them roughly. He gives them corn. He puts Simeon in ward. And then he sends them on their way. And There's an unsung hero in this narrative, and we're going to see him throughout this. This is Joseph's servant. This servant of Joseph, what a guy. What a guy he is. A little bit later, the brothers are going to come to him when Joseph says, "You tell them they're coming to my house today," and they're going to be afraid. They're afraid because they think, Joseph thinks, they stole their money back. But the servant meets them at the door. They refuse to go into Joseph's house. The servant meets them in the door, speaks comfortably to them. A little bit later on, that same servant is going to be involved in what he was involved in here, putting something back in the sack that they thought wasn't there. In fact, that they swear upon their own lives wasn't there. But notice what they do. Notice what they think. First of all, they're standing before Joseph and he speaks roughly to them and they say, "We are very guilty." Secondly, they get on the road after receiving the grain and they open up their sacks and the money is in their sacks and they say, "Woe is me, what hath God done?" Not what have we done. What hath God done to us? You see, they understand that God is not done with them. God is still pursuing them for their sin. What hath God done to us? They don't say, "Who put the money back in our sacks? Which one of you did that?" Notice it says, "What is this that God hath done unto us?" Verse 28. You see what's going on? Now a little bit later on, there's going to be something else that's found in a sack. And they will not accuse anyone but themselves. Brothers, sisters, let us look at what God is doing, bringing 10 hardened men to repentance. Let us take hope that even our own hardened hearts can be made soft. Thus ends the reading then of, one more thing before we end, because there's a change in Jacob that we want to see. At the end of the chapter, Jacob does not sound like Israel. He does not sound like one who has had power with God. Rather, he sounds like a fearful old lady, doesn't he? Oh, my children are gone. You bereaved me of my sons. And if now you take Benjamin away, my gray hairs will go down to the grave in sorrow. Does that sound like one who gripped hold of the angel, wrestling with him all night, and refused to let him go until he received the blessing? Does it sound like him at all? But that's okay, because Israel will find Israel again in just a couple of chapters. Thus ends the reading then of Genesis chapter 42. Let's start.